Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests. First, John Brubaker. He is the author of The Coach Approach. Coach Brew will today be talking about mistakes leaders make when team building. Second, we're going to be talking with Susan DeGrandpre. She's the author of Common Sense Workplace Mentoring. And to that end, today we're going to be talking about corporate mentoring, programs that work and programs that don't. And you're here and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking to John Brubaker, or Coach Brew. And we're talking about mistakes leaders make in terms of team building, especially when they're trying to develop team building challenges and enhance their leadership, and they do it the wrong way. John, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me here, David. I guess you put the power in Power Hour.
Absolutely. We have fun. We love it. It's a great time here. I got to tell you, the audience has been fantastic, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. So, hey, you know, we've been talking about team building many times on this show. We've had a lot of conversations about national speakers coming in, talking about the ways to do it, what is the most effective way, things that should be happening, leaders should be doing this, that, and so forth. But what I want to talk about is some of the mistakes, kind of behind the scenes, some of the mistakes that leaders make and initially starting to think about, hey, what would be effective for my team? So what's your take on something like that?
If you fall and hit your head after you listen to this and you don't remember anything else, remember this one thing. A little a lot is better than a lot of little, folks, when it comes to team building. When it comes to anything, really. But the biggest mistake that leaders make, or managers, or HR makes, is that they think, you know what, it's that time of year, you know, we have some division or a couple new hires. We need to do team building. So let's carve out a half a day. And it's the only time they do it all year. And they spend a day or half a day off-site. And let's say they decide to go to a ropes course, because that's kind of the popular sort of she thing
wall
to do.
Wall climbing, yeah. Rope courses, yeah.
What happens when you tell them they're going to a ropes course and they don't want to go?
I don't know, John. What happens?
It's packaged as fun, but it's forced fun. It's not something they want to do. So instead, A, ask your team what they want to do. What would be meaningful? What relates to our job? Because if you work at an accounting firm, are you climbing on high ropes every day? No. And I understand they tie in kind of a metaphor with the high ropes and teamwork, but if they don't want to do it, they're not going to get that metaphor and they're not going to get the takeaways anyhow.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I always say, what is the goal? Let's start with, what is the goal that you're trying to accomplish? So at the beginning of the process, if you're trying to build a collaboration between organizations, between people within an organization, and you're trying to build teamwork, but you're also trying to build fostering goodwill, and you're trying to have some fun, because, you know, in a lot of mission statements, we want to have fun, or values, we want to have fun. And you've had a challenging year, and you've had a challenging situation, and you've had maybe a downsizing, or maybe you've had a sales line that isn't really working up to speed, and you want to do something different. These are typically reasons why people do things like that, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's why they do it. Why shouldn't they think about something totally out of the box?
You can think something totally out of the box, but people support a world they help create. Ask your people what would be meaningful for you guys, for you ladies and gentlemen. Because I think that, again, you know, too many leaders, managers, HR people make the mistake thinking team building is something you can do in a day. Oh, we got a couple new people. Let's have a team building retreat. It's not a once in a while thing. It's not a one day thing. It's got to be an everyday thing throughout the year. So, yeah, you can do an offsite, and I facilitate a ton of them, but what's the takeaway when you leave there that you can apply every single day? It needs to be grounded in the core values of the organization or the department. And it's great to have that mission statement and have, like you said, fun be in it. But what does fun look like? You know, how is fun tied into the deliverables at the end of the day for that sales team? You know, here's what it looks like in our organization, in our department. Here's what it looks like for us in our community as an organization. Because ideally, you want to have those community roots, and you want people outside the community saying, wow, they really are a team. We see how they're working together with, you know, Habitat for Humanity or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, you become a magnet for talent. People want to come work for you when they see that, because I think people want to be part of something bigger than themselves ultimately when they choose to go work somewhere.
So let's get a little tactical for a second.
Sure.
So you're saying, and I happen to agree, that you ask the team, mm-hmm. ask the group what they want to do. That could give you an incredible array of answers, because people have their own personal choices. People have what they like to do. People want to necessarily do different things. How do you coalesce that together when there's such a diverse group of answers?
Well, the first thing it does is people want their voice to be heard. You know, a lot of times there's a direct line from the suggestion box straight to the paper shredder. In a lot of companies, they don't read those suggestions. They don't take that feedback. They don't listen. So if you're just being listened to and then those ideas are actually applied, how does that make you feel as an employee? Your voice is really being heard. In a lot of places, maybe for the first time. But you're never going to get consensus, and it's not a democracy. But to have them talk about it, have them have some dialogue, breaks down some silos before you ever actually do the team building, have them come to an agreement of here's what we're going to do and here's why.
Do you think it's effective to provide maybe a list of four or five ideas and allow them to select from that list, if you want to say, knowing that it's still not a democracy and mm-hmm. that the leader really kind of has a little bit of say into what exactly they're looking to do? Do you think that's an effective tool?
You let them come up with four or five, it's even more effective. But absolutely, people like to have choices, but if you have 40 people, you might have 40 different ideas. Good luck executing all that. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it's leadership by committee, right? Sometimes
sure.
So you bring them together and you say, okay, we'll take a group of four or five people, we'll bring them together, we'll come up with some ideas in terms of that to make that work.
And I got a great example of why you ought to listen to your people. Quick story, I was working with a beverage company, and I'll just put it to you this way, they're not the king of beers. They're number two, but they try harder if they were Hertz, you know?
Yeah.
But fourth quarter, they're looking to make a push, talking to me about how can we, you know, really kind of hit our numbers for the year. And I said, you know, how do you typically set your employees' goals for the quarter, you know, when you're looking at their metrics? And he said, you know, we tell them kind of here's your target and here's what you want to aim for and here's how we incentivize you. And there's this huge complicated matrix for how they're commissioned and incentivized on all these different products. I'm like, you know, I said, did you ever ask them how they wanted to be incentivized? No. Did you ever ask them, if you could set a goal for your sales for this quarter, what would it be? No. All right, so why don't you as a leadership team meet and decide what you think their numbers ought to be, but then bring them in individually and ask them, hey, set your own goal for this quarter and choose your own incentives. Here's what happened. They set their own goals. Every single person set their goal higher than management would have dictated to them. And when they chose their incentives, most of them were non-cash incentives. I'd like a couple extra days off. I'd like flex time so I can be at my kids', you know, soccer games or whatever it is, a health club membership. You know, things like that. It ended up costing the company less money. They're up 20%, and they never performed so well in the fourth quarter. So now it's a best practice. And it seems simple. Hey, you bring in a consultant to tell you to listen to your people. Yeah, sometimes you can't see the picture inside the frame.
No, that's very true. I think, you know, I think we all have great examples of saying how companies can really use basics. It's back to mm-hmm. basics sometimes, and it really is listening to and being in tune with what's going on. But sometimes you don't have the process in place. Sometimes you don't have the ability to do that, or sometimes the leaders aren't really listening overall
exactly.
in terms of to what the employees are looking for. All right, so we've talked about, obviously, one challenging aspect of team building and kind of in the process of how you go about maybe making that suggestion. Do you have another suggestion in terms of a tip or best practice when you're thinking about team building leadership as to what not to do?
What not to do would be a lot of little. Like I said, a little a lot is better than a lot a little. It's an everyday thing, not a once-in-a-while thing. So find a way to build team building into everyday life. Something as simple as, because, you know, when you do it once in a while, it wears off when you come back from that offsite, from that retreat. It wears off like a sunburn unless you reinforce it every day, you know. And there's a reason we brush our teeth every day, right? It's something you have to reinforce. It could be something as simple as at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, huddling up and just sharing some success stories. Letting people, you know, sales teams, they deal with adversity all day, every day. They're told no 99% of the time, a lot of them. Give them a little bit of a forum to kind of vent at the end of the day together, problem solve. And A, they're sharing ideas, they're sharing solutions. B, when they vent, they can leave work at work before they get in the car and go home. Something that simple really is team building, conversations.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the major problems that companies, organizations go through is they spend a ton of money to make sure that they do these exercises, but they don't reinforce them.
Exactly.
They don't spend the time to reinforce it. I know that, you know, I plenty of examples where I've gone into organizations say, you know, so you're going to do a great, you know, retreat, and we're going to do all these wonderful things. What are you going to do 3 months later? What are you going to do in a month? What are you going to do in a week? And they just kind of look with that, no, we're just doing the retreat because we're going to solve our problems there. No, no, you're not, right? I mean, you're not going to solve the
problem. It's like trying to put a Band-Aid on an amputated limb.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And so I think you're right. There is a reinforcement needed through the process. So how does a leadership team, again, being a little tactical, how does a leadership team change the processes within an organization to do that follow-up? How do you see a good process in place?
One of the things that I really like, I worked with one leader. He inherited a new company. And we had him literally sit down with every single employee and ask a simple question. Why do you do what you do the way you do it? And there's only one unacceptable answer. Because that's the way we've always done it here. He was willing to listen. Yeah. To any other answer, solution, piece of feedback, other than that's the way we've always done it. And it's interesting, the people that gave that answer either were reassigned or voluntarily got off the bus and got on another bus, so to speak. But just the fact that you're willing to have those conversations when you either inherit a new team or you're trying to rebuild and you're trying to drive a new initiative. Well, why do you do this? You know, there's a lot of value to creating best practices, but you've got these silos built up in companies and people aren't talking. People have their own agenda. And when you can get that out of the way and get other ideas on the table and it benefits everyone, you'll be more cohesive.
You're absolutely right. We're talking with John Brubaker, or Coach Brew, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com, a news talk WLOB, and we'll be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to CMAcareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking with John Brubaker. John, I got to tell you, we've been talking about some of the challenges, some of the things that happen when organizations try to do team building, try to do leadership development and training, and they go out and have a good time, but they do it the wrong way. And we've talked a little bit about, taking them for retreats and taking them out to, team build on rope climbs and different things. What are some of the biggest challenges you see to getting everybody involved? One of the things we find on these events is that leaders get frustrated because they've got maybe 75, 80% of the team on board, excited. Even if you've asked them the question and it's their idea, there's always going to be a couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
That just are like, this is dumb, or this is not why I'm here, I don't understand. How do you engage those individuals? How do you try to, get a leader to engage them, other than simply saying, thanks, have a nice day? Excluding that option,
sure.
How do you bring them into the fold?
I think everybody operates under the assumption, what's in it for me? The old WIIFM, everybody's favorite radio station.
Yeah.
What's in it for them? If you can't...
No, News Talk WLOB is the favorite radio station, John.
Okay, this is preset number two on everyone's dial. WIIFM, what's in it for me?
Hey, thank you.
But, that's everybody's MO. What's in it for me? We're kind of in free agent nation when it comes to talent and people's jobs and companies. And some people have one eye and one foot out the door. So you have to relate to them on their level. Here's really what's in it for you. If you do this, and if you can tap into their talents, their unique abilities, what kind of charges their batteries, then you'll get their buy-in. But until you find that out, you're going to be spinning your wheels with those people. So it's investing the time up front with the ones that aren't going to be real quick to buy in.
I think you're right. I think, certainly there is setting expectations at the front end, right? Making sure that people understand, it is mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do this together, but here's what benefit it brings to you in your position.
Did you just say you think I'm right? Can you say it again?
No, I can only say it once. I can always say it once.
David, I don't hear that a lot at home. I got a wife and two kids. Doesn't even think I'm right. So let's just say it once more, please.
You were partially right. And does that make you feel better?
You just graded me on a curve.
Yeah, that's no problem. No, but you're right. I mean, and I will say you are right. The fact is that, people have to spend the time to invest in setting the expectation. Now, I guess the question I would ask is, you maybe don't know what the major takeaway will be
mm-hmm.
when you come out of these events, right? You really don't know because things evolve as they go along. How do you set the expectation with your team that is not too low as to look ridiculous, but not too high
mm-hmm.
to make it just out of the park? So how do you as a leader make that happen?
Again, I'll go back to my a lot of little theory. I think that when you can get people comfortable with being uncomfortable a little bit each day, when you really need to push them hard, you can. I look at team building as having four stages. The first one's a shared goal. Second one's shared adversity. That's how you really kind of get them to push and become a little closer is through. You think about any adversity you had, in your family. Usually kind of circle the wagons and get closer as a result. Same thing in companies. And the third step is individual responsibility, tapping into that one thing each person's great at. And then the fourth one is when you can tie that all together, you get that sense of collective pride, where you've accomplished something and you're moving the ball a little closer to the end zone. And to be able to reinforce that every day after, quote, the event is really powerful.
Do you think that it makes sense to have them share what they learned, not necessarily at the event, but maybe
A month later? A week later?
A day later, a week later, a month, yeah. Every day. Here's how we apply it. And I think when you can create some common language, I think in the fabric, every organization, there's certain, vernacular, but we can create common language around that experience and you get them talking about it afterwards. You see sports teams do that. If you went to watch the Red Sox practice or take pregame or whatever, you'd hear words, and I don't mean four-letter words. I mean, you hear words where you didn't understand what they were talking about. They aren't even baseball terms. It's just part of the fabric of, kind of their team. But they all know what it means, and it's usually performance-related.
No, this discussion is really about doing it right the first time, because you only get one chance to make a good first impression. And if this is the first time that your organization is doing team building, or you're a new leader and it's your first time going out, or you know what, if you want to change the dynamic, right?
Yeah.
And because you've done them in the past and you want to try something different, you only get one chance to make that happen.
Well, quick thought, David. How much turnover is there right now? There's a lot of, like you said, downsizing, but they don't call it that. They call it right-sizing.
Right-sizing, the new term, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of turnover, people coming and going. Think about this, leaders who are tuned in right now. Every time you either have a person leave your team or you add a new member to your team, you go back to square one in terms of team building, forming, storming, norming, performing. Every time someone comes or goes, no matter if you're at step four where you're high performing, you're going back to the forming phase because it's a new group.
And we're going to leave it at that note. Where can somebody go and get your book, The Coach Approach?
They can go to my website, which is Coach Brew. It's coachbru.com.
Can they go to Amazon, too?
They can go to Amazon, too.
I figured as much. You never know where people want to go. John, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We will be right back on News Talk WLOB.